venue through the Midwest.
They're rolling out what they call their majority rules, an agenda they'd like to see enacted compiled from a survey.
Hi, this is Chris Bolin from ADI Lumberyard, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Catskill Hudson.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Setho of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Brendan J. Lyons is reporting for the Times Union. Federal law enforcement officials have revived a criminal investigation into the town of Prattsville's use of more than $5 million in aid from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development received in the aftermath of a series of devastating storms in 2011 and 2012. The FBI investigation is currently pending before a federal grand jury in Albany. The probe is focused on grant applications submitted by Prattsville Town Supervisor Corey O'Hara. Accusations have persisted since 2013 that town officials misused tens of thousands of dollars in aid and had refused to release their spending records. When contacted by a reporter this week, O'Hara's attorney, William J. Dreyer, declined to comment. Prattsville was leveled during Hurricane Irene in 2011. The federal aid received was used to help rebuild homes and businesses and to pay for two new bridges, the reconstruction of Main Street, and a recreation complex. The decisions on how the public funds were spent were made by a 12-member planning committee that included O'Hara and Councilwoman Bonita Chase, the deputy supervisor. Town Clerk Kathleen Sherman confirmed the town board September 9th voted to rehire Thomas A. Capezza, a former assistant U.S. attorney and general counsel for the state police. The town hired Capezza in 2017 to help respond to federal subpoenas. The subpoenas called for documents related to the funds received through the New York Rising Community Reconstruction Plan. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Kayla Harris reports in the Albany Times-Union that Governor Andrew Cuomo plans to release a proposal to legalize the recreational use of marijuana in January inside next year's state budget. Cuomo plans to meet with leaders from nearby states to devise a, quote, common framework, unquote, for marijuana laws, including minimum ages or permitted THC content. Quote, the best way to get things done, I think we can all agree, is in the state budget, unquote, Cuomo said. Quote, when it's not in the state budget, that's when things get problematic, unquote. Individual lawmakers get less sway over legislation included in the budget, and Democrats have little choice but to vote for the overall spending bill. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union.
Minutenews.com is reporting Rockland County officials have declared the measles outbreak over. The last case was reported on September 24th. County Health Commissioner Dr. Patricia Schnabel Rupert said two basic factors caused the outbreak. She said, and I quote, "We have found it to be a combination of those who refuse to vaccinate and the vaccine hesitant group that unscientifically staggers the vaccinations for their children and leaves them vulnerable to vaccine-preventable disease. Many of these previously under-immunized children were immunized with MMR vaccine during this outbreak," end quote. Since the outbreak began in October 2018, there were 312 reported cases of measles in Rockland. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that Village President Vincent Seeley says that the Catskill Village Board of Trustees voted to sell a portion of Elliott Street. There is not supposed to be driving on this road, which is more like a bit of land between Box Drop, Maastricht, and Dunkin' Donuts at the intersection of Route 385 and Route 9W. Seeley says the village has been allowing people to drive there, though not legally. Quote, technically, people can't drive around Drop Box Mattress, but we let them, unquote, Seeley said. The property is appraised at $18,000. The owner of the Dunkin' Donuts Plaza has told the town that they would like to add a drive-through, Seeley said. The story does not mention when the property might be sold. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Paper on details of the September 3rd Hudson Board of Education meeting. Superintendent Maria Stoudemire acknowledged that Hudson High School principal Antonio Abitable is leaving the district effective December 21st. He has been hired as superintendent of the Lansingburg Central School District in Troy. Stoudemire said Hudson will begin its search for a new principal this fall. The board welcomed Piper Nayowith, the new student representative. Nayowith is a senior at Hudson High School, and she is currently president of the student council. When asked if she had goals for her term as student representative, she said, and I quote, "to make sure everybody has a good school year and that there's open communication," end quote. Stoudemire provided a progress report on the district's ongoing construction projects. She said the asbestos abatement is complete at the Montgomery C. Smith Auditorium and at the junior-senior high school, and new audiovisual equipment has been ordered for both locations. A new set of heated stairs to the M.C. Smith second floor is expected to be completed this month, and the old sidewalks in front of the school building have been removed and will be replaced. Read the full story in the Columbia paper.
Amelia Teasdale reports in the Columbia paper that a proposed law banning sidewalk bike riding on Main Street in Valencia has been tabled by the village board. The August village board meeting, there was discussion of complaints about bike riders. But a month later, Mayor Diane Argyle said that there has been, quote, no other comment from anyone else in the village about the bike law, unquote. Argyle asked the board to table a public hearing on the proposed law, but it may return. Randall Schmidt, president of the Valencia Economic Redevelopment Association, said that the bike issue has, quote, gotten a lot better, unquote. But he was planning to speak with local business owners to find more issues with bike riders in Valencia. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
PS21 announced September 24th the selection of new officers in the wake of the passing of the Performance Venues founder and president, Judy Grunberg. Grunberg, an artist, business owner, and philanthropist, died August 30th at the age of 86. On September 19th, the board selected Marcia Fardella and Marion Kruskop to serve as PS21's co-presidents and carry on Grunberg's work. Fardella said in a press release, and I quote, "While no one can replace or duplicate what Judy has done, imagining and creating a first-class performance venue in our backyard where world-renowned dancers, musicians, and actors perform for our community. We are committed to continuing her vision, end quote. Also elected to join the board was David Grunberg, one of Grunberg's sons. Ordella has served on the board of PS21 since 2014. She is a graphic designer by profession. Kruskopf has a career in public health, most recently at New York City Health and Hospitals, the city's public hospital system. David Grunberg is the president and artistic director of the Spectrum Symphony in New York, based in Manhattan. PS21's 2020 season will combine its historic favorites with new performances in a variety of disciplines as well as various community activities. Read more at ps21chatham.org.
October 11th is the deadline to register in the November 5th town and county elections. This year, though, voting begins October 26th at a limited number of locations. Locally, Greene County has one location in Catskill, while voters registered in Columbia County have three locations to vote ahead of November 5th. The county office building in Hudson, the Martin H. Glynn Municipal Building in Valencia, and Copaic Town Hall in Copaic. In southern Albany County, the Helderberg Ambulance Site at 978 Cole Road in East Bern will be set up for all registered voters in election districts in Bern, Knox, Rensselaerville, and Westerloo. The Bethlehem Lutheran Church at 85 Elm Avenue in Delmar will be for voters registered in Bethlehem, Coymans, and New Scotland. In southern Rensselaer County, the Skodak Town Hall at 265 Schumann Road in Castleton-on-Hudson will be set up for early voting. To gain political advantage, Republicans in the majority in Rensselaer County did not set up an early voting site in Troy, the county's largest city and home to more Democrats than GOP members.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, a chance of showers after 1 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a high near 73 degrees. Thursday night, a slight chance of showers before 10 p.m. It will be partly cloudy with a low of around 48. And on Friday, sunny with a high near 72 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear with a low of around 54. So there you have your weather update brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Listen out for these live broadcasts and extra web streams on the WGXC program schedule during the coming week. On Thursday, September 26th, WGXC Live will carry a live web stream of Bobby Previtt's Blueprints performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. There should be a live web stream at WGXC.org around 9 p.m. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the web stream. Visit theavalonlounge.com for more information.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Thursday, September 26th, taught by author, artist, educator, and social activist Maureen McNeil. This class, in collaboration with the City of Hudson Senior Center and the Hudson Area Library, will focus on discovering the power of the inner self through the practice of daily writing. Registration is limited at programs@hudsonarealibrary.org and is on a first-come, first-served basis. Bobby Previtt leads a conceptual performance with webcasts at WGXC.org and Wayfarm.org. Previtt has invited some of his favorite musicians in the Hudson Valley and beyond to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill for these inaugural concerts of his newest project, Blueprints, starting at 9 p.m. The ensemble will play, distort, improvise around, and sometimes ignore these fragments. Using hand signals, body movements, and the occasional odd glare, Previtt conducts the musicians through the maze, taking a different path every night.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Brendan J. Lyons is reporting for the Times Union. Federal law enforcement officials have revived a criminal investigation into the town of Prattsville's use of more than $5 million in aid from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development received in the aftermath of a series of devastating storms in 2011 and 2012. The FBI investigation is currently pending before a federal grand jury in Albany. The probe is focused on grant applications submitted by Prattsville Town Supervisor Corey O'Hara. Accusations have persisted since 2013 that town officials misused tens of thousands of dollars in aid and had refused to release their spending records. When contacted by a reporter this week, O'Hara's attorney, William J. Dreyer, declined to comment. Prattsville was leveled during Hurricane Irene in 2011. The federal aid received was used to help rebuild homes and businesses and to pay for two new bridges, the reconstruction of Main Street, and a recreation complex. The decisions on how the public funds were spent were made by a 12-member planning committee that included O'Hara and Councilwoman Bonita Chase, the deputy supervisor. Town Clerk Kathleen Sherman confirmed the town board September 9th voted to rehire Thomas A. Capezza, a former assistant U.S. attorney and general counsel for the state police. The town hired Capezza in 2017 to help respond to federal subpoenas. The subpoenas called for documents related to the funds received through the New York Rising Community Reconstruction Plan. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Kayla Harris reports in the Albany Times Union that Governor Andrew Cuomo plans to release a proposal to legalize the recreational use of marijuana in January inside next year's state budget. Cuomo plans to meet with leaders from nearby states to devise a, quote, common framework, unquote, for marijuana laws, including minimum ages or permitted THC content. Quote, the best way to get things done, I think we can all agree, is in the state budget, unquote, Cuomo said. Quote, when it's not in the state budget, that's when things get problematic, unquote. Individual lawmakers get less sway over legislation included in the budget, and Democrats have little choice but to vote for the overall spending bill. Read more about this story in the Albany Times Union.
MinutesandNews.com is reporting Rockland County officials have declared the measles outbreak over. The last case was reported on September 24th. County Health Commissioner Dr. Patricia Schnabel Rupert said two basic factors caused the outbreak. She said, and I quote, "We have found it to be a combination of those who refuse to vaccinate and the vaccine hesitant group that unscientifically staggers the vaccinations for their children and leaves them vulnerable to vaccine-preventable disease. Many of these previously under-immunized children were immunized with MMR vaccine during this outbreak," end quote. Since the outbreak began in October 2018, there were 312 reported cases of measles in Rockland. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that Village President Vincent Seeley says that the Catskill Village Board of Trustees voted to sell a portion of Elliott Street. There is not supposed to be driving on this road, which is more like a bit of land between Box Drop, Maastricht, and Dunkin' Donuts at the intersection of Route 385 and Route 9W. Seeley says the village has been allowing people to drive there, though not legally. Quote, technically, people can't drive around Drop Box Mattress, but we let them, unquote, Seeley said. The property is appraised at $18,000. The owner of the Dunkin' Donuts Plaza has told the town that they would like to add a drive-through, Seeley said. The story does not mention when the property might be sold. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Jeanette Wolfberg is reporting for the Columbia paper on details of the September 3rd Hudson Board of Education meeting. Superintendent Maria Stoudemire acknowledged that Hudson High School principal Antonio Abitable is leaving the district effective December 21st. He has been hired as superintendent of the Lansingburg Central School District in Troy. Stoudemire said Hudson will begin its search for a new principal this fall. The board welcomed Piper Nayowith, the new student representative. Nayowith is a senior at Hudson High School, and she is currently president of the student council. When asked if she had goals for her term as student representative, she said, and I quote, "to make sure everybody has a good school year and that there's open communication," end quote. Stoudemire provided a progress report on the district's ongoing construction projects. She said the asbestos abatement is complete at the Montgomery C. Smith Auditorium and at the junior-senior high school, and new audio-visual equipment has been ordered for both locations. A new set of heated stairs to the M.C. Smith second floor is expected to be completed this month, and the old sidewalks in front of the school building have been removed and will be replaced. Read the full story in the Columbia paper.
Amelia Teasdale reports in the Columbia paper that a proposed law banning sidewalk bike riding on Main Street in Valencia has been tabled by the village board. The August village board meeting, there was discussion of complaints about bike riders. But a month later, Mayor Diane Argyle said that there has been, quote, "no other comment from anyone else in the village about the bike law," unquote. Argyle asked the board to table a public hearing on the proposed law. But it may return. Randall Schmidt, president of the Valencia Economic Redevelopment Association, said that the bike issue has, quote, "gotten a lot better," unquote. But he was planning to speak with local business owners to find more issues with bike riders in Valencia. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
PS21 announced September 24th the selection of new officers in the wake of the passing of the Performance Venues founder and president Judy Grunberg. Grunberg, an artist, business owner, and philanthropist, died August 30th at the age of 86. On September 19th, the board selected Marcia Fardella and Marion Kruskop to serve as PS21's co-presidents and carry on Grunberg's work. Fardella said in a press release, and I quote, "While no one can replace or duplicate what Judy has done, imagining and creating a first-class performance venue in our backyard, where world-renowned dancers, musicians, and actors perform for our community, we are committed to continuing her vision," end quote. Also elected to join the board was David Grunberg, one of Grunberg's sons. Fardella has served on the board of PS21 since 2014. She is a graphic designer by profession. Kruskop has a career in public health, most recently at New York City Health and Hospitals, the city's public hospital system. David Grunberg is the president and artistic director of the Spectrum Symphony in New York, based in Manhattan. PS21's 2020 season will combine its historic favorites with new performances in a variety of disciplines as well as various community activities. Read more at ps21chatham.org.
October 11th is the deadline to register in the November 5th town and county elections. This year, though, voting begins October 26th at a limited number of locations. Locally, Greene County has one location in Catskill, while voters registered in Columbia County have three locations to vote ahead of November 5th. The county office building in Hudson, the Martin H. Glynn Municipal Building in Valencia, and Copaic Town Hall in Copaic. In southern Albany County, the Helderberg Ambulance Site at 978 Cole Road in East Bern will be set up for all registered voters in election districts in Bern, Knox, Rensselaerville, and Westerloo. The Bethlehem Lutheran Church at 85 Elm Avenue in Delmar will be for voters registered in Bethlehem, Coymans, and New Scotland. In southern Rensselaer County, the Skodak Town Hall at 265 Schumann Road in Castleton-on-Hudson will be set up for early voting. To gain political advantage, Republicans in the majority in Rensselaer County did not set up an early voting site in Troy, the county's largest city and home to more Democrats than GOP members.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, a chance of showers after 1 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a high near 73 degrees. Thursday night, a slight chance of showers before 10 p.m. It will be partly cloudy with a low of around 48. And on Friday, sunny with a high near 72 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear with a low of around 54. So there you have your weather update brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Listen out for these live broadcasts and extra web streams on the WGXC program schedule during the coming week. On Thursday, September 26th, WGXC Live will carry a live web stream of Bobby Previtt's Blueprints performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. There should be a live web stream at WGXC.org around 9 p.m. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the web stream. Visit theavalonlounge.com for more information.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Thursday, September 26th, taught by author, artist, educator, and social activist Maureen McNeil. This class, in collaboration with the City of Hudson Senior Center and the Hudson Area Library, will focus on discovering the power of the inner self through the practice of daily writing. Registration is limited at programs@hudsonarealibrary.org and is on a first-come, first-served basis. Bobby Previtt leads a conceptual performance with webcasts at WGXC.org and WayFarm.org. Previtt has invited some of his favorite musicians in the Hudson Valley and beyond to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill for these inaugural concerts of his newest project, Blueprints, starting at 9 p.m. The ensemble will play, distort, improvise around, and sometimes ignore these fragments. Using hand signals, body movements, and the occasional odd glare, Previtt conducts the musicians through the maze, taking a different path every night.
I'm Jack Ross Pilkington, and you are listening to WGXC 90.7 Akron Hudson, listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Alex Benson of Tivoli, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
We know that women are the deciders of elections, and particularly women of color, Black women in particular. And yet none of our policy or our laws reflects that.
That was Catherine Granger, co-founder of Supermajority Education Fund, a grassroots organization that launched back in April to advance the goal of women's equity. Women tend to vote in higher numbers in elections, and that's where the name comes from. Yesterday, Supermajority's cross-country bus tour stopped in Des Moines and Cedar Rapids. It's an organizing tour with outreach and trainings on how women can make their voices heard.
The 2018 elections elected a historic number of women in Iowa. And, you know, it's a unique space in terms of the women's vote, the women's voice. And so that's what we're really excited about as we continue through the Midwest.
They're rolling out what they call their majority rules, an agenda they'd like to see enacted compiled from a survey of over 100,000 women. They found that some of the biggest concerns were around safety, respect for women's bodies, workplace equity, and family support.
women want to connect in community. We're providing the training and the tools that they need in order to participate in democracy. And then we're creating this values agenda so that we can actually start to live in the world that we want to live in and where we can prosper and our families can prosper.
Another demographic that may want to learn how to participate in democracy are young people. That's why Des Moines Public Schools partnered with the Des Moines Register to host a Youth Voices Forum last weekend. Many of the students' questions were on the same issues adult voters ask about: gun control, climate change, unifying the country. But Fez Zaffer, Roosevelt High School student body president and event moderator, asked each candidate this question.
When registering to attend this event, about 57% of students reported that they'd be eligible to vote in the 2020 election, yet only 44% said that they plan to. What will you do to engage America's youth and increase voter participation?
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has been pursuing and getting his message across to young voters since his 2016 campaign.
I believe very strongly that if we're going to maintain a vibrant democracy, we have to involve young people, let them know that their voices count. Get them to thinking about the issues that impact their lives.
And sometimes, according to Colorado Senator Michael Bennett, young people are more in tune with the issues than their older counterparts.
Finding these subtle distinctions in these answers or in your questions is really what our democracy is supposed to be all about. So I congratulate you and the rest of you for conducting a forum that's like 10,000 times better than the debate stage.
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at PacificaNetwork.org and PublicNewsService.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Andrew Barwick of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
No!
Song that we love to sing. Every time we hear the music, and we're in this love together, we got the kind that lasts forever.
Come on, people, now smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now.
But being in complete unity with each other, harmony with each other, and not letting the man maneuver us into fighting one another. As long as we practice brotherhood among ourselves, and then others who want to practice brotherhood with us, we're for that. But I don't think that we should run around trying to love somebody who doesn't love us.
One thing I can tell you is you got to be free.
Get it? Take a look into the sky and see it's scraping the buildings. Or look into the mirror, see the face of resilience. My heart and frustration is in it. When I spit it, it's vintage. Soul molded into my own image. Yeah.
One thing I can tell you is you got to be free.
It
ain't hard. One thing I can tell you is you got to be free.
Yeah, it ain't hard.
One thing I can tell you is you got to be free.
Yeah.
Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, September 26, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. Select lawmakers get a first look at the Trump whistleblowers report. Also on our rundown, we'll take you to a state where overtime rules are leaving workers behind. Topping our news, House Democrats rushed Wednesday to plot the course of their formal impeachment inquiry into President Trump. They got their first glimpses of the secret intelligent whistleblower complaint that touched off the investigation, that from the New York Times. The Times notes, even as they obtained those crucial details about allegations that Mr. Trump pressured a foreign leader to help him tarnish a political rival, those Democratic leaders did not plan any immediate action to formalize their impeachment inquiry. Analysts say the U.S. Labor Department's new overtime rule for salaried employees shortchanges thousands of Pennsylvania workers.
In 2016, the Obama administration proposed raising the maximum amount salaried employees can earn and still be entitled to receive overtime pay to more than $47,000 a year. But the new rule, announced on Tuesday, raises the threshold to less than $36,000 a year. According to Steven Herzenberg, who heads the Keystone Research Center, that means many workers will continue to be denied pay for the extra hours they put in.
Bottom line is 310,000 workers in Pennsylvania that the Obama administration was proposing to make automatically eligible for overtime will miss out because the new rule doesn't help them.
The Labor Department says the higher threshold is the first increase since 2004 and will make more than 1 million workers nationwide eligible for overtime. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
In Pennsylvania, the governor's proposal has provisions to let overtime threshold keep pace with the changes in the cost of living. Towns in coal country considering what happens next as companies and the fuel hit hard times.
Next week, the North Dakota mining town of Beulah hosts the Building Resilience in Coal Country Community Forum, featuring speakers with knowledge on economic diversification, revitalization, and rural planning. Jack Morgan is with the National Association of Counties, studying how communities can work through economic stresses. Morgan says it's important for communities to invest in their place, such as natural landscapes and even the recreation economy, as well as infrastructure such as broadband internet, and also in the workforce and related sectors for dislocated workers.
Coal-reliant communities really have a sense of self-reliance and grit, and they're equipped with that grit to bounce back from anything.
Morgan adds that communities planning for the future should have a diverse group of stakeholders at the table.
That was Eric Tanoff reporting. This is PNS. The Yampa River is a key contributor to the Colorado River Basin, which provides drinking water for 40 million people across 7 states.
And now the Yampa has its own dedicated fund. Water funds have been used around the world as a tool for bringing diverse interests together to protect water resources. Kelly Romero Heaney is water resources manager for the city of Steamboat Springs. She says because no single entity has sole authority over the Yampa, the fund can play a critical role in keeping the river healthy.
We're all accountable for it. And so it really forces us to work together, to form partnerships, so we can manage the Yampa River watershed as a whole system.
Romero Heaney says last summer the Yampa got so low that it couldn't meet the needs of farmers, ranchers, and towns, so part of the fund will be used to tap reservoirs to keep water flowing during low-flow years and drought. The fund will also help replace antiquated irrigation infrastructure to improve conservation along the valley's robust agricultural corridor and restore riparian areas and wildlife habitat. Romero Heaney says keeping the river healthy is critical to the health of local economies because tourists flock to the Yampa Valley not just for skiing, but for fishing, rafting, and other outdoor recreation. She notes sections of the river around Steamboat Springs have exceeded the EPA's heat standard, and the fund can help greenlight projects to increase shade along riverbanks.
That's the extraordinary part about the Yampa River Fund. Great to have all these plans in place and these projects identified, but without capacity and without funding, none of it happens.
For Public News Service, I'm Eric Galatis.
Finally, our Suzanne Potter reports that Governor Tim Walz just declared Minnesota a clean car state, and at that time directed the Minnesota Pollution Control Administration to start rulemaking to limit tailpipe pollution in many cars and also to increase the number of electric vehicles sold in the state.
The new rules would mimic those in 14 other states and D.C. State Senator Nick Friends says this will give Minnesota car buyers a lot more options.
Right now in the United States, there are 43 different models sold, but only 19 are available in Minnesota. So we're talking about changes that will not only benefit public health, but hopefully reduce our carbon emissions.
All current cars, trucks, and SUVs would remain on the market. Transportation is the number one source of climate change causing pollution in the state. Supporters say introduction of more clean cars would also significantly improve air quality. Opponents say the changes could increase the cost of some cars.
Minnesota is part of a multi-state lawsuit filed last Friday to uphold the state's rights under the Clean Air Act to set their own standards. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported. And you will find us online at publicnewsservice.org.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Coxsackie Village officials said September 24th, the time frame for public comment on the proposed stipulations for a 50-megawatt solar farm is nearing an end. The Hecate Energy Project is slated to be sited on about 400 acres on Farm to Market Road in Coxsackie and will use approximately 170,000 solar panels. Hecate Development Director Gabe Wapner explained that there are three phases to the Article 10 process, and the stipulations being reviewed originated from public comment. Village Mayor Mark Evans said the village will likely object to a few of the stipulations. Evans declined to say which of them were found to be objectionable until the board votes in October. Evans said, and I quote, "There were some questions we needed further information on. Our attorney will be getting the information for those questions, and we plan to vote in October," end quote. The lifespan of the Hecate project is projected to be 20 to 40 years, Wapner said. He said Hecate will offer $4 million to $6 million in incentives for the life of the project for the community. The public comment period for the project ends September 26. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. The Daily Freeman is reporting Columbia County resident and Bard College faculty member Jeffrey Gibson has been named a 2019 MacArthur Fellow. Recipients of the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation's so-called Genius Grants each receive $625,000 over 5 years to use as they please. Gibson, 47, an artist in residence in Bard's Studio Arts program, maintains a studio in Claverett. Gibson is a Choctaw Cherokee artist, and I quote, "who incorporates his heritage into his multidisciplinary work, which includes abstract sculptures, paintings, and prints," end quote, according to Bard College. The Chicago-based MacArthur Foundation also named Valeria Lucelli to the list of 26 fellows as well. Lucelli, 36, is a writer in residence in Bard's Written Arts program. She is an award-winning author of fiction and nonfiction whose books have been published in more than 20 languages. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting New York State Health Department and the SUNY Albany School of Public Health have been given $1 million by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Agency for a toxic substance and disease registry. The fund will be used to support a health study of the exposures of residents living in Newburgh and Hoosick Falls, where the drinking water has been contaminated with PFAS. Funding supports the first year of a five-year project involving only seven sites nationwide. For the New York study, 1,000 adults ages 18 and older and 300 children ages 4 to 17 from the Newburgh and Hoosick areas will be recruited. Both locations were seriously impacted by legacy industrial sources and firefighting foams used by the military and others. The U.S. EPA, meanwhile, announced the state's Center for Environmental Health and Wadsworth Center Laboratories will receive approximately $900,000 over a three-year period to develop an extensive database of PFAS found near landfills throughout New York. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. Ayla Harris is reporting for the Times Union. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo, September 26, signed legislation extending New York's deadline for voters to change their party registration ahead of the 2020 primary elections. The new law eliminates the previously scheduled October 11th deadline, giving voters until February 14th to change parties and still vote in the primary elections in April and June. The bill, passed by the state legislature in June, sat on Cuomo's desk unsigned for months, causing the campaign manager for Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders to urge the Democratic National Committee to demand Cuomo sign the bill into law. Progressives have rallied for years for New York to change its strict deadline. Party leaders previously defended the state's very early registration deadlines as a defense against the practice of party raiding, in which members of a rival party change their affiliation to undercut the opposing party's candidate selection. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. the local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
About you day and night, it's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me and ease my mind, imagine how the world would be so very fine. So happy together.